Und jetzt Vollgas über den Gaumen. Das schmeckt so gut. Und noch ein bisschen mehr. Und?
Moment mal. Hier steht 100% ohne künstliche Zusätze. Nur mit natürlichen Zutaten.
Frosta Butter Chicken mit jeder Menge Bäm. Ohne Bäh. Das ist das Frosta Reinheitsgebot. 100% ohne Zusätze. Schon seit 2003.
To the Shutdown Fullcast. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. I'm Spencer Hall. Joining me as always is Ryan Annie, Jason Kirk, here. Holly Anderson, and on the ones and twos, Michael Serber. I have a question. You'll notice that's a bigger cast than we had last week because somebody was out gallivanting, out visiting the old sod, going to talk to daddy.
That's a weird way to put it.
So I'm the first person to ever put it that way.
I don't like that.
No, everyone hated that. You went to England, Ryan.
That's true, yeah.
Not just England. Mm-hmm. I think you went to England plus, because you went to Liverpool.
To Liverpool, yes.
The hell were you doing in Liverpool, boy?
I was going to the Open Championship at Royal Liverpool, mate.
Like a Lynx course is ugly. It looks like a mistake on television.
It's funny because on television it looks terrible. In person, it actually looks pretty nice because you're like, what it is imagine like somebody had an open field and they like carved paths into it and like made some of it kempt. Like it is. It does have like a naturalistic enjoyability to it in person. But it photographs terribly. It really looks bad on TV.
Same.
Just like me. I already, yeah.
Yeah, you do have that.
Other question.
You are the Lynx course of human. I agree.
My face is like Lincoln's face.
You don't want to get stuck in there. Oh, boy, you're going to have a bad time.
So the answer is probably looks better with a beard. My question is also this. You mentioned actually seeing someone in Ohio State gear.
Yeah.
When you were there.
Yeah. I saw a man in an Ohio State hat. I think that was the only thing he had. I tried to keep track of everybody that I have a list somewhere. Let me go find it. I tried to keep a list of all the American sports paraphernalia that I saw while I was just at the tournament. I saw somebody on the plane from London to Manchester wearing a Raiders shirt. I didn't count that. I saw...
why not?
You know what?
I'm not objecting. I'm just curious. I just want to know your reasoning.
On the flight from Nashville to Manchester, or to London, rather, I saw a guy with two Bass Pro Shop hats. One he was wearing, and one was affixed to his backpack.
As a backup
of sorts. Yes. Huh. He was ready.
Oh, I love that. Can't be too careful.
Let's see. Hold on. I have my list here. I'm sorry. Let's see. We have New England Patriots, Seattle Seahawks, Vancouver Canucks, Detroit Tigers, Ohio State Buckeyes, Oregon Ducks, Arizona Cardinals, New Orleans Saints.
Wait.
Yeah.
Somebody decided that the Arizona Cardinals, that was their go for let's go to the British Open.
My guess is that there is a certain type of British sports fan who just likes wearing NFL gear because it's like kind of quirky and kind of different from seeing like a, you know, you can see plenty of people wearing
like dudes in beer bars wearing Chelsea.
Yes.
Here, right?
I think that's exactly it. Where Premier League stuff is ubiquitous there and you don't even think about it. But it can kind of stand out in America. I think that's what NFL gear is. Because, like, and I heard the guy wearing the Patriots hat talk, and he was definitely British. And I'm like, this seems inconsistent. Like, you're wearing the logo of the people that kicked your ass. Why are you doing that?
America had loyalists.
That's true.
Yeah. So it, I guess it stands to reason that he's over there. Can I just pause for a second and say how lovely this is that we have our very own spiritual successor to Paul Bettany sketching the Galapagos creatures in Master and Commander, and here's Ryan just bringing back. I'm picturing him with like a little notebook, just shading in the edges of the Bass Pro hat as it dangles off the backpack. I think this is lovely.
I saw Chicago White Sox, Cleveland Browns, Notre Dame, Michigan State. I saw like three Vegas Golden Knights things, so I have to assume those people are together.
Sure.
Buffalo Bills and Philly's hat. But this is not the most important thing. The most American sports thing I saw at the Open Championship was John Daly.
You saw him.
Was he passed out at a flower bed?
So we went on Friday and Saturday. Friday's right before, for those who don't follow golf, Friday's right before the cut when all the golfers who haven't had a good couple of days don't get to play anymore. Saturday's after the cut. John Daly definitely got cut. The only reason he's in this tournament is because he's a former British Open winner. You should Google John Daly, British Open streaker, if you really want a delightful Google image search. Don't do that on a work computer. But we saw.
I don't advise searching John Daly Open anything.
We sat in the grandstands at the 18th green, and so we saw like 50 golfers come through and finish their round. We saw the champion Brian Harman go dogs, sink an eagle putt, which was very indicative of what he was doing. Saw a lot of other good golfers, but we saw John Daly come through, and you know it was John Daly, because you're like, why is South Carolina Santa here? And because he's wearing Hooters branded pants and his bag is Hooters sponsored as well. So, yes, please go ahead.
When you say Hooters branded, what made you aware that these are they branded in the Zubaz style? Is there a tasteful patch?
I think it's,
is he wearing the hot pants?
No, they're not. Oh,
thank
man.
You. Yep.
Fuck, that this would be good. Question. No, they're long pants, and I think they just had, like, the Hooters owl on them in, like, a print pattern. If
okay, fair
serves.
Enough.
So we watch John Daly. He gets a very big...
That's his Wimbledon outfit, basically.
Yeah. John Daly gets a nice... everybody in the crowd, like, loves that John Daly is there. So he does his thing. And that's it. We've seen him be done with the British Open. Cut to about 8 hours later. The Airbnb that we're staying in, it happens to be about two blocks from the Liverpool Hooters, the only Hooters in Liverpool. And my brother, who we've mentioned on this podcast before, the nefarious Todd, says, I bet John Daly's in that Hooters. And I'm like, I don't think so. Like, I don't think he is.
Todd, come on the podcast.
I don't think he is.
The Tampa radar is going off.
So,
Todd, no, listen, Todd's a doctor, man.
Sure. So we go
he
up.
He can sense heartbeats.
So we're like, well, we might as well go check, right? So we go up to the door of the Hooters, and two women who are, they're not bouncers per se, and they're not even checking ID, but they're just there to like convince you, yes, you should come to Hooters while you're in Liverpool. He asks them, is John Daly in there? And they say, oh, yeah. But it's in a way where you're like, you're just going to say that no matter what. So... My brother goes in, and he texts us, and he's like, yep, John Daly's in here. So we all go in, and John Daly is not...
Wait, you say we... Sorry, I keep interrupting. Yeah. You say we all.
Myself, my brother, my father, and my brother-in-law.
Guys being dudes.
So we go into the...
Lanny's rolling deep into the Liverpool Hooters.
We go into the Liverpool Hooters, and John Daly is, in fact, there. And I know that because... He is not like off in a private room, squirreled away somewhere. There is a like central table that seats about 20 people.
Holding
John
court.
Daly is sitting at the fucking head of
King
it.
King fucking Arthur.
Hold on, I'm gonna. Of Hooters. I haven't shared this one publicly, but I'm going to share on the thread, and maybe we'll do something with it at some point.
Oh, we got to make like an oil painting of this.
This is, I got to find it. All right. Here is my photo proof that John Daly was at Hooters. I have texted it to the four of y'all.
Examining transmission.
Oh, green bubbles. Come on.
Right now.
Oh my. Okay, you know my, you know what my first thought was. My first thought was that JB Field looks great.
Yes, you took the words right out of my mouth.
I honestly wasn't expecting the posedness.
Yes,
I was thinking this was a walk past kind of thing. Yeah. But this is like a—he's very used to just like, all right, it's time to do this.
Yes. And I gotta hand it to my brother. This
we have a Halloween costume for your professor.
Todd, this is one of the greatest called shots you've ever had to insist that John Daly would be in the Liverpool Hooters, and he fucking was.
This is a thing, though. He got arrested at the Hooters here in Winston-Salem after playing in what used to be
when
the
he passed
Crosby.
Out in a flower bed.
Yeah, like, but it is a thing. Like, when he plays a tournament, he goes to the Hooters nearby because he eats and drinks for free.
I don't even think that's legal to arrest John Daly in a Hooters.
If it was the outside had the Hooters. Been at another town, would he have even bothered going, like one without a Hooters?
I think he would have gone, but then he would have immediately fled to the nearest Hooters. Like, it's sort of his...
Like a salmon.
Well, it's like his embassy that he can escape to if need be, and
his sanctuary.
International law cannot touch me here.
As, like the Lake Kingdom in Mario Odyssey where he has to catch the bubbles every few minutes.
Yes. As a citizen of Hooters, you may not violate my rights by taking me out
Saint
of this establishment.
St. Andrew's Hooters.
He has to breathe the thicker air inside the Hooters. Regular air is too thin to penetrate his blood.
I don't know if Scotland has a single Hooters.
It doesn't appear St. Andrew's does.
Scotland Hooters.
I guess in this
one instance only, we have to give the leg up to England.
Listen to this. I googled Scotland Hooters, and every link that comes up is Tilted Kilt. So they.
All right. Well, now I'm very.
Oh boy.
Now I'm very confused because Hooters of Nottingham claims that. That they are the UK's only Hooters. And I can now I'm like, did I hallucinate an entire Hooters location? Was it a pop-up?
Wait, I didn't know Nottingham was real.
Yeah, it is.
I thought that was just in Robin Hood.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's real. They're open till 11, Ryan.
Okay. Whew. Feel much better. Glasgow was opening a Hooters. I don't know if that worked out or not, but.
That's the place for it.
There is one location in Australia.
Oh, no. I was going to say the Scottish Hooters was going to be dangerous because that's where you're most likely to encounter the ladies who will fight you, but Australia might have it beat.
I've
tucked a scorpion inside my corset.
Asking the internet, does Russia have Hooters?
Azerbaijan Hooters.
Oh, it's even better. It's even better. From a 2014 story, Andrei Kirilenko brings Hooters to Russia.
Legend.
Legend. Well, there's the episode title.
Russians and Americans are more alike than different.
Cultural
huge
exchange.
Sports fans who are looking for great food and good times.
April 5th, 2023, PR Newswire. Atlanta. Dateline. Hooters has launched a limited-time franchise incentive program as it marks its 40th year in business. Y'all want to buy a Hooters? As an iconic brand with global appeal and 100% unaided brand awareness, they're not lying.
Well, John Daly's doing the work. Like, I'm confident there were only people in that Hooters because of John Daly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's my recommendation. If you go to Liverpool, Hooters, baby. John Daly might be there.
Hooters Czech Republic is my favorite. Just looking at the list.
Hooters Taiwan.
The first Hooters was in Clearwater. Yeah. I did not know that.
Yeah. Hooters Hungary. Listen. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, no. No.
So there's a story about one of the founders of Hooters. He died the most Hooters death possible, which is he was blown out of his cigarette boat racing across Tampa Bay and never found. He was going like 9 zillion miles an hour on his cigarette boat, hit a wave, and
just
that wave
out.
knocked everyone the fuck out of the boat instantly.
That's how he would have wanted to go.
That's probably true. I do have one more travel tip to offer as well.
Okay. Yes, go right ahead.
So, people at the Open were very friendly. Like, random people would just sort of chat you up, and they would chat you up for longer than you expect, or at least longer than I expected. They'd sort of want to have an extended conversation. And I realized that I owe a big thanks to our collective friend, Nate Scott, because he armed me with the only piece of information I needed to talk to British sports fans about soccer, because I don't follow soccer closely enough to like have a meaningful conversation about what's going on. And like, I would look like a fool, but Nate has provided me with ongoing updates on the beloved British soccer idiot known as Jack Grealish, and being able to have that, like, that is my advice, is if you go to a part of the world you haven't been to before, figure out who the sports, like, lovable sports jackass. Yes. Figure out who each. Yes. Jack Grealish is. That's perfect. He's 100%. Like,
I don't know a lot about him other than the gin thing, but he's basically their Gronk, right?
So here's what. After this most recent World Cup, when England got knocked out by, I want to say it was France. Is that right?
That sounds right.
Historically, yes.
It sounds painful, yes.
Yeah. It was. It was France in the quarterfinal. This is what Jack Grealish did to make himself feel better. He flew to New York City to stay in the Plaza Hotel, and he decided he decided to reenact as much as he could of Home Alone 2, Lost in New York, a movie
that— I was kidding! Holy shit!
This is a real quote. I didn't get to meet the Mad Pigeon Woman, but I never realized how much stuff had been filmed there in Central Park. Yep.
It's beautiful, man.
Yep. So that was my way in to have a conversation with a Brit about soccer was Jack Grealish being just incredibly stupid, but lovably so.
Holly, thank you for introducing the concept of Tesco Gronk.
But I suspect that's true. I suspect every major like sports league or culture has a Gronk, right?
Every country has a J.R. Smith. Gronk. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. So find out
like
who that
blessed,
is.
Like,
and then lean
like
into
blessed idiot.
Yeah.
Blessed idiot, I think, is the proper term for
and
that.
And you can translate one to one by picking the name of the beloved local convenience store and just appending it to the name. Like if you were trying to describe him, if you were trying to describe Gronk in America, you know, he's QT Gronk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure.
Or he's QT Greeley.
I did have one more golf thing to ask you, please. And I can't believe I'm saying that. But
yep.
Were you familiar with what happened, and did you hear live what happened to Tyrell Hatton during the second round?
This is the funniest thing I've ever seen in all my time watching golf, which is not great.
So I saw him finish the 8th. This is on the 18, right?
So you saw him?
You were there when he hit it off the tee?
No, I was at the green. So what I thought he just had a normal hole. I didn't realize until later what exactly.
So you're there for him to land
to
it too. Okay, we should back up.
Yeah. We're going to back up. So you were at the 18th green where you saw him use his putter. You saw this. You saw him use his putter as a rifle to shotgun.
Yes, and nobody knew what that was about. It was very confusing. He putted out, and we all thought he had finished with a par. And then he turns and uses his putter backwards towards the hole. And we're like, is he mad at somebody? Is he mad at the hole itself? And yeah, he was mad at the hole itself, it turned out.
So, unbeknownst to Ryan, if you were watching on television, what happened all the way back at the start of that hole?
I'll give you the shot-by-shot breakdown. First tee shot, out of bounds.
Second. So what are, sorry, I'm not a golfer. What are his choices here?
He can land inbounds on the fairway. Mm-hmm. He could land in the rough, or he could just
I mean, sorry, what are his paths forward from hitting out of, if you hit out of bounds off the tee, what do you have?
What are
next?
The consequences?
We have many non-golfers here.
Do it
well,
again.
Well, he's going to
yes.
You get to do it again.
You
have that stroke, you take a penalty stroke, and now you hit again from the tee box, and you are this is your third shot, even though you've made literally no progress.
It's now third
That's
down.
Fun.
Yes.
So anyway, what happened?
He did it again. Did it again. Rocketed right out of bounds, and it basically went, and he landed clean on the first hole. There's a problem. He was playing the 18th.
Yep.
Okay. That's a special skill.
Yeah. So shot one, penalty incurred. Shot three, another attempt out of bounds.
So this would put him on shot
incurred.
Five?
Yes.
A shot, his third shot off the tee.
Which is his fifth shot.
Which is his shot.
This is great.
Both of these, by the way, went wide right. And then on shot five, he did it again, a 344-yard drive onto the first hole. So on shot six, he finally hits a shot.
Mind this is
you,
all
he's
happening
gone,
on television.
He's
now.
Gone way right, way right, way right. And then shot six is a 239-yard dribble left into the rough.
Which is really shot seven.
That is,
yes. And then
that
he
is Florida State's exact trajectory.
Yeah, it is. He was
proud of you, buddy.
And then 7, 8, 9, he goes in, gets the tap in for quadruple bogey when he started.
Oh, so yeah. I was going to tell this part.
Yeah,
I think he was two under.
Correct.
When he started at the hole and he ended at two over.
Two over, baby.
Well, so that's the other thing when you're just there, especially at 18 specifically. They don't have any digital billboards. It's all like Fenway Park at that
at
the 18th. So you just know what his score and it's even though his score is obviously not going to be what it is starting the 18th, we just knew like, oh, okay, well, he's putted this and it didn't seem like he had any big problems. So it was very surprising when they like manually changed his final score and be like, what the what? What just happened here?
A lot.
Yeah. He did not miss the cut. I thought he was in danger of that. He ended up posting three under the next day and then finished it even par. So he toughed it out.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought he knocked himself out.
Toughed it out?
No.
No.
And you know what? To everybody who did miss the cut, think about that. Dude shot a fucking nine
seriously.
on the last hole before the cut, and he made it in ahead of you.
Yeah, well, he's the one who's not hanging out at Hooters, so.
That's true. Yeah, I got to tell you, nothing still, about John Daly's demeanor suggested like, oh, I would like to keep playing this golf tournament for two more days.
You want to take my clothes right now? They're very heavy.
Oh, no, I don't have to work anymore.
That is still not the worst single hole in PGA. Tommy Armour, and I'm going to introduce you to the best sports term ever heard. It is my new favorite. Tommy Armour at the 1927 Shawnee Open hit a 17 on the scorecard. Tommy Armour knocked 10 balls out of bounds and got a 17, which leads to a 15 plus, a 17 total. That 15 plus, if you get that in the birdie par bogey nomenclature system, guess what it's called if you get a 15 plus on a
pterodactyl?
The daily.
You would not guess it, but you will love it. You are so close. No.
An albatross.
No, Jason is so close. It is an Archaeopteryx.
I was fucking going to say that. Fuck you. Let me cook.
No. Jason, I'll give you full credit.
I really
that was awesome.
You on that. Yeah.
Thank you.
It is called an Archaeopteryx if you get a 15 plus.
Several people like were telling me, oh, Spencer should have to do his golf penance on this course. You would not make it through the day. You would absolutely abandon the round. Probably at hole 10 was the worst one I saw, and I think you would just walk off and cry at that point.
What made 10 so terrifying?
Ten
walk off
is,
and cry, please. Those would be tears of joy.
Ten is
to Hooters.
10 is a
free.
Par,
I'll go to Hooters with
right,
John
you're
Daly.
You're done playing golf at that point. 10 is a par 5 for in normal times. They made it a par 4 for the tournament. The fairway appears to be a bowling alley that has suffered several geological faults. It is narrow and twisty. There are no good places to land. We saw no good approach shots after that. There's it's easy to go out of bounds right. It's not easy to it like that the putting surface is tilted in a bit. It's the one hole on the course that I watched where everybody was just like, please just get par and leave. Like, nobody was trying to get a low score on 10. Everybody was just trying to survive and be done with it. And it would absolutely chew Spencer up and spit him out. 17 is the other hole that people were talking about, which is this par 3 that is up sort of elevated and is surrounded by, like, the, like, you could be in a bunker that was taller than you. You would have to hit a golf ball out of a bunker like 10 feet tall.
Yeah, I enjoy any golf course where you can, one, potentially die in a bunker from exposure, or two, as I also saw in this tournament, absolutely, like, annihilate a fence. As some dude took a driver off the deck out of the rough, and he hit a fence, and it made this fantastic melodious ting as his shot annihilated this fence. It was great.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's I guess the way I have tried to explain it to people who don't care or watch golf, and it's a tennis metaphor, so it's not that useful. It is very much the French Open, where it's just like, oh, you play on this completely different surface, and everything you're good at, you will be a detriment to you now. You can hit the ball super far. Well, that's a bad idea here. You're an idiot. Have a great time. But it was fun, and I got to go to Liverpool Hooters, so really, you know, that made the whole thing worthwhile.
So, speaking of Hooters, which has hamburgers.
There we go.
That was good.
Lean in.
Before we reveal the list of teams, can I do, I know everyone already knows, but when we reveal the list of teams that Harbaugh is missing, can I do a countdown? I have a prepared piece of content about these opponents.
Sure.
So, according to reports, I forget exactly who reported this.
I think Ross Dellinger reported it first.
Okay. So, Ross has reported that because of some NCAA bullshit, Jim Harbaugh appears to be receiving an equally bullshit punishment, which is being suspended for Michigan's first four games of this season. So those four opponents, right? I'm gonna run through the first the challenging opponents that are being faced this year by top 10 level teams. All right, it's gonna be more than 10, but top 10-ish teams, right? Like, for example, LSU is playing away against Florida State, at Mississippi State, and Arkansas, right? That's three potential losses in four games, right?
The Florida
LSU's
State game,
starting tough.
The Florida State game is that Orlando? Is that one of those, like, away?
Yeah, it's neutral slash away.
Okay, but yeah, right.
Texas is playing at Alabama, at Baylor. Two tough games. Yep. Bama's playing Texas and Ole Miss. This is tough for most teams. Florida State, LSU, and at Clemson. Utah, Baylor, Florida, UCLA. Ohio State's going to Notre Dame. Notre Dame is also playing NC State and in Ireland against Navy. Why would you do that? One of the worst
God,
ideas I've ever heard.
You're crossing the water to play Navy?
Yep.
They're going to sink you. Clemson, FSU, and Duke, Penn State, Iowa, Illinois, West Virginia. We're getting less challenging here, but still, these are all you better actually participate. Tennessee, Virginia, and at Florida, Georgia, their nemesis, South Carolina, even USC. According to Massey ratings, is playing nothing but teams ranked between number 60 and number 110 in their first four games. Michigan. Here are the four opponents that Jim Harbaugh will have to sit out against. Again, according to Massey ratings, number 70, East Carolina, number 82, Rutgers, number 116, UNLV, and number 130, Bowling Green, all four at home. I love Bowling Big Green Ten is scheduling.
So Bowling Green's the worst team?
Goodness gracious me.
Bowling Green will be in contention for the worst team in the country,
wow.
Yes.
Okay.
And Michigan will get overcoming adversity credit for beating them.
Can we all remember for a moment watching Bowling Green at this time?
I remember.
Their staff is always fun to remember.
It sure is.
Mm-hmm. That'd be Scott Loeffler, former Michigan assistant, and
former Florida assistant. Former Michigan quarterback.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Former Auburn something. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you'd call what he did there.
Yeah, former,
former Auburn assailant?
former Auburn check casher, baby. Mm-hmm. Because that's what he did there. Remember, Scott Loeffler got a lot of... I think Scott Loeffler has collected, like, at least $5 million worth of paychecks based strictly on the notion that he had something to do with Tom P. like the cottage industry of people who have shared a fart in an elevator with Tom Brady and gotten paychecks off of it is not insignificant. Scott Leffler is one of those. Even though, hey, you try going 6-7 and losing the Quick Lane Bowl at Bowling Green.
I couldn't do that. Huh? Frankly, I could not do that.
I couldn't. So, he went 4-8 at Bowling Green. I couldn't go 4-8 at Bowling Green.
This was one of Brian Van Gorder's most recent stops. He made that really an all-star staff, and then left for a high school in Alabama, a high school in Florida, where he went. It looks like he went 2-7 and then resigned. So Brian Van Gorder is again on the loose, as far as I can tell.
Wait! Who did he have with him down there? Didn't he have some other like famous gadabout coach?
Yeah. God.
I'm sorry to completely slow this down. I just want to make sure we're aware of where all these guys are.
As a matter of security.
Mark Hudspeth.
Thank you. Oh God. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Brian. I think Mark Hudspeth was the coach. Brian Van Gorder was the DC at Gulf Shores.
In Alabama.
I love this Fried Green Tomatoes remake. I love it so much.
Oh, and now I am seeing that Brian Van Gorder is back at Gulf Shores.
Wow. Oh. Okay. So is he again? So he was as I understand, he was the head coach at the Florida school, and now he's back as a defensive coordinator.
Yes, he was. So he went defensive coordinator at Gulf Shores High School, head coach at American Heritage Del Rey, and then back to defensive coordinator.
We can find this out pretty easily, probably on the school website. Does he have to teach high school classes while this is happening, like most football coaches?
Does he have to teach health? Maybe
is Brian Van Gorder somebody's civics teacher?
Yeah.
I want to know.
He replaced, in between the non-consecutive terms of Brian Van Gorder, Paul Rhodes was the defensive coordinator.
Wow.
This high school is like...
What is...
Quite the home for lost college boys.
Brian Van Gorder on his wiki, his resume is 27 items deep. It's incredible.
Is he coaching or kiting checks at this point?
And there's not very many. Like, there's a couple where it's like promoted from linebackers coach to DC, but it's mostly just bouncing around.
God, the U.S. Postal Service must fucking hate Brian. Jesus, another forwarding notice. God damn it. Can you keep a job for 2 years?
There's so many forwarding notices. It's like, he's like, fuck it. I can't think of the word. Scrap that one.
Are you a bad enough dude to properly send mail to Brian Van Gorder?
Like, you know there's somebody in an apartment complex somewhere who's like, fuck, I keep getting mail for Brian Van Gorder. God damn
Probably
it.
Everyone.
Didn't know he subscribed to Cat Fancy.
Keep
one
that.
Of them.
Brian Van Gorder's like, that magazine's not what I thought it was going to be about.
American Heritage School, this high school in
where you fucking pervert.
Florida, in Delray
Plantation,
Beach.
Florida. Yeah, he was the coach there almost 40 years ago and then came back.
Wow.
Man.
He's like a living ghost. It's nothing but unfinished business for Brian Van Gorder.
Yes, there were like lots of stints in Georgia. Yeah.
So anyway, yeah.
So is that creepy sounding American Heritage High School? Is that in Plantation?
That's what it says.
Oh, good God. That is the most fascist high school in America. Just go ahead. American Heritage Plantation or American Heritage High School in Plantation, Florida. Good Christ.
Yeah, that sounds made up. So, yeah, good luck to Michigan. It'll be interesting to see if they can overcome all this adversity. I actually think this is probably pretty good for, like, J.J. McCarthy's Heisman chances because, like, now everyone's paying attention to these games where he's just going to run a fucking layup line on Bowling Green. But, yeah. And then when Harbaugh comes back, he's staring down the barrel of Nebraska and, let's see, Nebraska... Minnesota, Indiana,
Michigan State,
Purdue, which is like, all right, we are really gently increasing the difficulty here. No shade to Minnesota.
Yeah. My theory,
the gauntlet of Penn State, Maryland, and Ohio State, all three equally capable. Good.
My theory, and this is entirely conjecture, And so this is all being done as part of a negotiated settlement of sorts. And, like, I think their offensive coordinator and their tight ends coach are probably going to get a game suspension. Their former DC, who works for the Ravens now for John Harbaugh, is going to get, like, a year of show cause. My suspicion is that the NCAA told Jim Harbaugh, they were like, all right, here's the deal. You can get one game if you admit that you lied about the burgers. Or you can get four games if you insist that you're not lying. And he was like, give me five fuck faces. I don't care. I will never admit to burger crime. Not once.
I will never roll on the burger joint.
I'm not a burger rat.
He pulled the Michelle Rodriguez. Do you remember when Michelle Rodriguez had a choice between community service or jail? Yes. And she said, fuck it, fuck jail. Yes.
I'm not a sandwich snitch.
Yeah, so my unfounded
Harbaugh name, had any.
Yeah, they're like, all you got to do is say you're sorry. I'm never going to be sorry for hamburgers. Do you hear me? I will never apologize for eating hamburgers at 10 in the morning.
I'm the coach at Michigan. They'll fire me for that.
The founding fathers didn't kick England in the teeth, so I would apologize for burger breakfast.
You know what I'm going to do when I miss our fucking nooner against UNLV? I'm going to stick around and eat more goddamn burgers.
I hope he shows up in the stands for all of these games just double-fisting cheeseburgers. The whole time,
the cameras would not leave him.
No.
When ECU's down by 30, and like a lot of people have gotten excited, like, oh ho ho, ECU can be frisky sometimes, and it's like, yeah, I mean, all these games are gonna be like 3 or 4 touchdown spreads and then some, so don't count on it, but you know, maybe, I guess, could be competitive for a while.
All of this because he didn't pay in cash. Yes, all of that.
Yes.
Like again, we have returned to the drug dealing or being a college football coach best business practices. Don't pay with a card. Don't pay with a card.
Don't pay with a university card.
Yeah, and don't talk to the feds.
Did he pay for the burger with a check?
James Harbaugh. Just sitting, I can see him too. He's writing it out,
you
so
know,
slow.
And you know he definitely does a strong line after the 0-0 over 100. Oh, you
a hard line.
Can't have anyone writing that in there. That's right. You never
a big,
know.
Big mean line.
This is
memo.
The offensive
go
line.
Blue.
Of,
yeah.
This is the go offensive blue. Line of check writing right here. Nobody's.
No hop on.
Writing
no hop
ons
on the Harbaugh family account. Can't have that. Because it says 5 here, but they might change it to 5 million.
I've seen Blank Check. So many things can go wrong.
It's the only
documentary.
Movie I've seen. Guy who's only seen Blank Check.
I really don't want to know what, like, Jim Harbaugh's DVD shelf is like 8 DVDs max, and I don't want to know what any of them are.
Facing the Giants.
Jim Harbaugh favorite movie.
An Affair to Remember. There's one of those in there.
Star Wars 1, allegedly. I know that.
Seeing that?
That is definitely a film he has seen.
Band of Brothers.
One of those, but not two.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he doesn't go... He's not going to delve any further. He's like, I have a war story.
Just the first ones before they get all huggy.
Exactly. Before they bonded. Just the parts with the violence.
Googling, I have only seen a Star Wars reference and It's a Wonderful Life. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I got.
I'm telling you, Facing the Giants is on the list.
Okay.
No question.
Sure. Band of Brothers is also, yeah, like, I wouldn't be surprised if you use the bathroom at Jim Harbaugh's house and there's just like a television showing Band
Saving
of Brothers.
Saving Private Ryan, just the first 30 minutes.
Vin Diesel's real good in this. Wonder if he ever did anything else.
This is all I know about him.
It's most likely just, it's not him recognizing that it's Vin Diesel. It's just 20 minutes. Who is that? He's somebody.
I'm telling you, that guy's going to be a star.
Yeah. I like this guy. He puts team over himself. All
they
these
can play
guys
for me
do.
Anytime.
He's just fucked up enough, though, to have, like, one or two curveballs that don't even make sense on the, like, random level.
Amelie!
Yeah, well, no, but, like, that would be, like...
Spirited Away.
Yeah, we're getting closer there. Or, like, the Apple Dumpling Gang. He's like, I love Don Knotts, you know?
No. Spirited Away. It's about teamwork and perseverance.
Vanilla Sky.
Yeah. Wait, 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 wait. Vanilla Sky or the Spanish original?
No, no, no. That's a little too Catholic for Jim.
There's a lot of Spanish Catholics.
That's
also
he limits his Spanish movies to Y Tu Mamá También.
I wouldn't be shocked if Jim Harbaugh is like, Spanish Catholics aren't the real ones. Italy or nothing. Go home, France.
Coach, are you Italian?
No,
hell no. Why? So, yeah. Speaking of movies, did anyone else Barbenheimer it this past weekend?
I've neither Barbied nor Heimered.
Okay. Holly, you did as well?
I've neither. Yeah, I've neither.
I have opt, and I am waiting to... We had to split our double feature up, but I have Oppenheimered.
Okay.
Okay.
I have neither.
So, Jason, you've done both?
Yes. We did... Nice. We did.
All right.
Barbie in the big Dolby screen and Oppenheimer in IMAX. We went all out.
What was the time lapse in between the two?
About half an hour.
Simultaneous.
Oh, okay. So you like legit Oppenheimer'd. Okay.
Yeah. There's no quit here.
Nice.
We did arrange a car to take daughter and niece home. They did not give a shit about Oppenheimer. That's fine. these are two of the best movies I've ever seen, and many would say in completely different ways. And yeah, kind of, but also, like, you know, they're both very existential. They're both, both, you know, extremely about what it means to create something in the world, and like to be part of a world that you have taken part in creating, and the difficulties of that. They're both wonderful. It's, you know.
Jason, can I throw a heat check at you?
Yeah.
I was extremely disturbed to find out that Matt Damon was very good in Oppenheimer. Did this upset you as well?
Yeah, he's perfect. I mean, Josh Hartnett is great. Aiden, what, Han Solo?
Jack fucking Quaid is Richard Freiman.
Like Alden Erlen. Something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's not
the guy who played Hans.
Alden might be the best one in the. He might be the best one in the movie.
Like, yeah, he goes toe to toe with.
I'm not kidding.
He's like holding his own against possibly Robert Downey's best performance. Like everyone is acting their fucking asses off. Emily Blunt.
And everybody's everybody's vocal work is just incredible. Everybody's, but especially Downey and Cillian Murphy. But like, okay, here's the thing. Here's the scary part. Kenneth Branagh shows up halfway through the movie, and you're happy to see him.
That is surprising.
Like that's the fucking wizardry.
Like, the Trinity test is fine, but you're happy to see Kenneth Branagh at one point in this movie in an acting capacity. Do you know what kind of fucking sorcery it takes to pull that off?
Is he your most, oh, this motherfucker actor when they show up?
Yes. Yes, but it's only because, well, it's because of a lot of things. I mean, who among us has not wanted to direct ourselves as Henry, but you know, the dude left Emma Thompson. What the fuck? Also, everybody has that one guy who's like, I'm the director and the star, and Kenneth Branagh has just been that guy for decades, and then he shows up here in this. Well, then he shows up here in this little role, and he's just like, holy shit, Kenneth Branagh! Oh, thank God. And it's for plot-related reasons that I will not spoil, but it's very funny.
So, let's see if this works, okay?
Okay.
The game I wanted to try to play, and Holly and Spencer, again, I think you should enter yours in the chat just as a backup, and we'll know what you're saying, and we'll relay it. Double feature is a wonderful experience. I recommend Barbie before Oppenheimer. That's not the conventional thinking, but after Oppenheimer, all you can think about is, oh fuck, my body hurts from watching Oppenheimer. So we are going to recommend some more full cast approved double features. I'll go last. I'm going to sort of lightning round through a bunch, but who wants to start us off?
Okay, so since my internet seems to be working, I'll try to go first. I have three. And Jason, when Jason proposes to us, he did say they don't have to be movies that came out on the same weekend. He was very open. But I decided to do this the hard way. So these are all movies that opened on the same weekend when they originally were released. The first one is the most offensive, and I apologize for that. Fuck Wanda. And that is when you go and see Hotel Rwanda and Meet the Fockers back to back.
Okay.
I have one that I think people would have actually done at the time. It's called Hatrix. That's when you go to see The Matrix, yes, and ten Things I Hate About You.
Ryan, did you do this? Because I sure did.
I don't know. I never saw 10 Things I Hate About You in the theater. So,
okay.
But I wouldn't have minded
this
double feature.
That summer.
This was one of my first dates. I know that much.
Okay. And then my third one, these two movies also came out on the same weekend. And thinking about seeing them back to back is truly, truly alarming. Sandecent, which is The Sandlot and Indecent Proposal.
Back. And see both with children.
Do you know that would actually make a really good drive-in special? Because you know, at least at our drive-in, they would show like a PG movie and then an R movie, and you bring the kids in their pajamas. Everybody watches the first movie, and then you put the kids to sleep in the back of the car. Yeah,
that's right.
I think both those movies are about kissing.
Yes, yes, that's essentially what it is.
Yeah.
So those are my three that I have to offer. I also tried to stick to the naming convention of just one word.
Yeah, that's good.
I'll go next. I took kind of a different tactic. I decided not to confine myself to history, but to give myself a little parameter to work with. I went with movies by title. My first swing at this was inspired by an iconic photograph of Spencer and Ryan at the Ann Arbor District Library before our Michigan show, holding a certain DVD. And I give you 28 days and 9.5 weeks.
Sexy.
But I almost immediately replaced that with 27 dresses and 28 days later.
Yeah,
that's really good. I would watch. Yeah, I'd do that.
Continuing on with a theme that if you kind of have to have seen these to understand, but Failure to Launch and The Right Stuff, both incredibly romantic comedies.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
My Best Friend's Wedding and My Best Friend's Exorcism. This one's a little too easy.
Mm-hmm.
I had one more. What was it? Oh, sorry. Gangs of New York and Sweet Home Alabama. I have also invented a rule. Okay. Sorry, I had one more. This was for Spencer. A triple feature of only the first halves of Scarface, Blow, and Requiem for a Dream.
Yeah, which
yes.
Nothing but happy endings.
I
also came up with a rule called the Lincoln Protocol, where every movie like Lincoln should have a movie like The Lincoln Lawyer attached to it for a come down. That's just a general principle that I would like applied across the board to all these, and that is my slate.
Also, I would like to note that after seeing, after seeing Oppenheimer, my plan was to go Barbie, Oppenheimer, Barbie to create like a clean seal around the feelings of Oppenheimer, but I felt so alive after Oppenheimer, and I don't want to think about what that says about me, that I think I'm actually going to go Oppenheimer, Barbie, Oppenheimer.
I love it.
Damn.
Just to prevent, I don't want Noah
the
Baumbach
oboe
leaking
protocol.
I don't want Noah Baumbach leaking into the rest of my life.
Sure.
I think that's the only way to be
and
sure.
You can't be too careful. As Oppenheimer teaches us, you can't be too careful with compartmentalization. So
I know who I'd want to hang out with more, and it's Christopher Nolan, because as I saw from his interview on the Rich Eisen
show. We have to talk about the Rich Eisen.
Oh, right.
Season.
Yeah.
Did you guys see this shit?
Yes.
It was incredible.
During an interview with Rich Eisen,
asked him... We don't know why Rich Eisen was interviewing Christopher Nolan.
Because Rich Eisen's booker has the power of God.
Seriously.
He got Nolan on the phone, and in doing this interview, asked him what his remote drop movie was.
Explain remote, what that is.
Remote drop movie being when you have to drop the remote when this movie comes on and watch the entire thing. It's pretty familiar.
It's speed, you know.
It's speed for some of you.
It's speed for everybody, fucko.
Yeah. For me, it's Goodfellas. If Goodfellas is on, I have to watch Goodfellas to completion. You know what? It's been so long since I've watched like live TV for the purpose of just browsing.
Okay.
That the answer is I don't know. But he asked Nolan what his remote drop was, and his remote drop answer was, among other films, he did say like Kubrick. He's supposed to say
no,
that.
No, get to the good part.
He said Talladega Nights. He had to watch Talladega Nights every time it was on.
And Rich Eisen goes bullshit, of course.
And to clarify his love for the movie, Nolan responded with, if you ain't first, you last.
Love.
In his accent.
That was a wonderful story of a wonderful moment, and equally wonderful was watching Cerber deal in real time with your audio.
Oh.
Yeah.
It came through, but I just wish the folks at home could get the visual.
He has.
I thought he was laughing. Was that despair?
No. Imagine, have you ever seen a parent who's trapped in a place where their child is doing something inappropriate and they can't get to them to stop? Like, oh no, you've decided to pull your pants down during the Christmas pageant.
Oh,
and I just have to look
banned.
Alarmed and disappointed.
We're going to be banned from our third jamboree.
Server just looks so disappointed at like how his life led me here.
I quit my job, man.
You're locked in here with us, brother.
Oh, bud, I'm sorry.
You thought it was called a lifeboat for a reason, and you were wrong.
Spencer, do you have double features to offer?
Two of them. The first,
hear them.
This was a thought experiment, and it's
I'm
a fun
you,
one.
Type them in the chat as you go.
Because I thought the way to go with this would be to say, you know, what would go with the shock of seeing O.J. Simpson as a comedic actor in Naked Gun? Well, the only answer is to watch both Naked Gun and Naked Gun Part 2, because holy shit, there's O.J. Simpson just right up there being wacky and funny. And then you'd watch a second movie and be like, they just kept going with it. What the fuck? Don't they know?
Sure.
Don't they know?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah. So that's my first answer. But the second is a real world example. Two movies that did come out on the same weekend. And that's, you could take the popcorn and just do these two back to back. You could start with Toy Story. And then you could watch Casino.
Oh!
Bangers.
I want you to consider this. One is less emotionally harrowing when you take into account everything that Toy Story does over the course of its franchise. Or Joe Pesci being buried alive after being beaten with a bat.
Would you rather be buried alive or be subjected to the rule of that Tommy Lee Jones teddy bear?
I would rather be beaten with the bat and buried alive. Mm.
Joe Pesci is the Buzz Lightyear of the movie, right? I think that's fair.
Yes.
I think it's fair that Joe Pesci is the Buzz Lightyear.
In the entire Scorsese
universe. The Buzz Lightyear of the Scorsese universe.
Can I just say we missed you? We missed you a lot, buddy.
I look like a fucking toy to you? You think I'm fucking fun?
Fun how? Explain it to me.
How the fuck am I fun?
See, if these had been the Ted movies, they would have been so much better.
It's funnier if you imagine him cussing from inside the helmet, right?
Or only cussing when someone pushes his little button.
Yeah.
Oh, like bleep blorp.
All right, Jason, what do you got?
Let's start with Elf and Contact for when you hope you find your dad.
Yeah.
Elf Contact.
Yep.
Midsommar and Ex Machina, because sometimes you just got to dump a guy. Black Swan in any sports movie, because Black Swan is the best sports movie.
I hadn't thought about it that way, but that's a really
it is.
Cool,
she levels up and she's first round draft pick quality.
Yeah. And, any given Swan Day.
Any given fucking Swan Day.
God damn it.
Let's see. The two best girl hangout movies, I think, are Clueless and Annihilation. Let's go with Blue Crush.
Hey, listen,
and
it's all about your closet.
Sure.
Blue Crush and End of Evangelion, hanging out on the beach.
Has Blue Crush been in the news or something? Because Blue Crush was in one of mine that I was considering.
Huh.
I was going to go Blue Crush.
I
was going to go Blue Crush and Blue Ruin, which but then I realized that I'm the only person who saw Blue Ruin.
Yeah, I've never heard of it.
I've never heard of it
it's
either.
It's very, very grim.
Okay.
Let's go with Arrival and Pootie Tang for when you're not really sure what this guy is saying, but you get it.
This is the only one of these that I sign on with 100% wholesale. I would do that right now.
Fuck's wrong with Elf?
We're going to go with Lady Bird and Jarhead because it's hard to be a person from Sacramento. Movies about not wanting to go to work. Obviously, that's Office Space and First Reformed.
Oh, I was going to say Predator for that one.
Parenting is hard. We have any parents in the crowd tonight? For you, I'm recommending Big Daddy and Eraserhead. And if you just need a relaxing night at home, let's go triple feature. We're going to go Uncut Gems, Requiem for a Dream, and Free Solo.
Wow.
Woo!
What is that, the order, you think?
Yeah. Probably End of Requiem, I think, actually.
Yeah, I think that's right. I may
be
the
Uncut Gems in the middle as a come down after Free Solo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you start with Free Solo, right? Because then you're like, okay, maybe the other two have like decent endings as well.
Also, Uncut Gems in the middle will guarantee that you won't like flag halfway through.
Sure.